health, wealth, and divine. My name is Juwanza, and I'm so happy that you've taken time out of your day to join me this afternoon. It's a beautiful day. Oh, my God, the weather's changing. God, it feels so good to feel some warmth in the environment. After a long winter, it feels really, really good to see the sun again, and I'm just feeling good, and I hope that you are too. Tonight's show is going to be a very, very important discussion that I'm going to be having with Dr. Ruby Lathan. If you've been following us, you know that Dr. Ruby Lathan is a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine, and what an awesome, awesome guest that she is. Every time she comes on, she really, really is very insightful in her explanation of whatever the topic is, and I know that you all are enjoying the information that she brings, and hopefully you're sharing the information, because this show is about health, wealth, and your divinity. And so, I mean, we can all benefit from information on that. And tonight's show is going to be a show that women specifically can benefit from. If you're a guy and you're listening to the show, by all means, share it with a sister that you love, because it's not just for women. It's for women and men who love those women. Again, as I've stated, my special guest tonight is Dr. Ruby Lathan, and we're going to be talking about fibroid tumors, your uterus, and your health. Fibroid tumors, your uterus, and your health. So now, if you're tuning in for the first time, let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Lathan. She's a holistic health and wellness expert and an advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Lathan inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. Dr. Lathan, who holds a Ph.D. in industrial and systems engineering and a B.S. in computer science, began teaching others about the benefit and power of plant-based nutrition. She motivates others to take charge of their health and provides tools for living healthy, disease-free, and above our daily routines to experience the peace and joy of life's journey. Dr. Ruby served as nutrition policy manager and lobbyist at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she led a national initiative to improve child nutrition and prevent chronic disease through emphasis on plant-based options in the National School Lunch Program. Dr. Ruby is a dynamic speaker and educator, hosting a number of seminars, workshops, and healthful vegan cooking demonstrations as well. Dr. Lathan is a health and wellness contributing writer for African American Lifestyle magazine and host of an alternative health webcast called Health 365 and the Whole Foods vegan cooking show, The Veggie Chef. So, now that you know who you're listening to, let me bring her on. Dr. Lathan, great to have you back. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, and I know that tonight's topic is going to be one that you're going to really break down for our listeners, and they're in for a wealth of information, and it's just wonderful to have you back. Welcome back.
Thank you. Always good to be back.
Dr. Lathan, again, as always, again, and I never get tired of hearing your testimony. For those who are listening, Dr. Lathan has an awesome testimony of healing herself from thyroid cancer after the doctors had diagnosed her with that. And what an awesome testimony it is. Again, when people are hearing shows dealing with anybody that's talking about alternative medicine or naturopathic medicine, you know, they're kind of skeptical about it, and, you know, they need to know that who they're listening to isn't just some quack, you know, but somebody that has, you know, proof that it actually works, and you're walking, living proof that it works. And so, if you don't mind, would you please share your testimony for our listeners so that, you know, they can be just as inspired? Because, again, you're not listening, ladies and gentlemen, you're not listening to somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about. She's walking again and walking and living proof that it works. Dr. Lathan?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what kind of brought me to kind of holistic health and holistic nutrition was thyroid cancer, as you mentioned, and I was diagnosed back in 2007, and I decided to treat it naturally and to look for alternative treatment to surgery, which was the only option that was given to me. And I wanted to not be on medication for the rest of my life, so I started researching how to heal from cancer naturally, and I came upon plant-based diets. It was kind of a reoccurring theme throughout my research, and so I decided to do that. It made a lot of sense. There was scientific data as well as anecdotal data that a whole foods plant-based diet can cure the body of cancer and lots of other things. And so I decided to switch to a diet and change my lifestyle and get rid of stress in my life, which breaks down the body quite a bit, makes it very difficult to heal. So once I did that, you know, lots of things started to change, but a year later, the cancer was gone with nothing but supplements that I came up with and researched and my own nutrition plan that I came up with and was able to heal my body naturally, just doing things like juicing and eating raw foods and taking supplements. So that really changed the course of my life and what I wanted to do. And lots of the people wanted to know how and why it works. And so I've shifted to teaching people how to do the same thing with not only cancer, but a number of illnesses, as I mentioned, you know, from diabetes to heart disease to other things as well. So it's a very broad area, but it all goes back to nutrition.
Were you shocked, I guess, for lack of a better term, at the fact that you were able to do it on your own? I mean, I know you had a support system, but, I mean, you did your own research. I mean, you came up with your own plan of action and, you know, what you were going to do and how you were going to attack this disease. And then a year later to find out that, again, I did it, you know, it's gone. Were you shocked just how, and I don't want to use the word easy because I don't want to minimize the process that you undoubtedly went through, I mean, in talking about in terms of your emotions and, you know, all of that, but just the fact that it, in a year or maybe even less, that you actually reversed thyroid cancer and that there were still so many people out here with not just thyroid cancer but other curable ailments that were people were dying from and others that were, you know, taking medication now that they think that they'll have to take for the rest of their life. I mean, did it shock you just how, you know, you not just that you did it, but that not only that you did it, but that in terms of the whole versus like the whole industry, it only took a year and, you know, there's still this big industry, money-making machine out there, and people are still dying, and you were just able to do your own research, come up with your own plan, and cure yourself.
You know, yes and no. I mean, because I always believe that there are natural remedies to things, but I was surprised, and like you said, how, quote, easy it is, and because it's not easy. I mean, it's easy in the sense that it's not a big scientific undertaking. It's not like, you know, you've got to climb Mount Everest and come back down again to find the cure. It's simple in that it is what you put on your plate and the supplements that you take and the things that you leave out of your diet. It's simple because it's just diet. It's difficult because it's a lifestyle change, and a lot of people aren't ready for that. But I was shocked at how little information doctors have, traditional doctors, allopathic doctors have regarding nutrition and healing. It's almost nil. They give bad information. It's shocking how little nutritionists know about how diet affects the body. I mean, aside from doctors having little information, the fact that nutritionists have so much misinformation and they're the ones really coaching people and telling people what to eat, and you think you're doing the right thing when you go to a nutritionist, you know, I'm going to change my diet, I have diabetes, let me go to the diabetic nutritionist, and she tells you everything that's going to keep you progressing with your diabetes, just a little bit slower. That's it. And that, to me, is criminal. That this misinformation that is being given is really causing death, and that's criminal, and it's terrible. So it's shocking how mainstream lack of information about diet is, about how much misinformation there is about plant-based diets, how much misinformation there is about the body's ability to heal itself when you give it what it needs. I mean, people just really have no clue. And the fact that the medical industry is basically clueless, and or I'd say the practitioners, a lot of them, not all, I'm not doing a blanket statement because there are a lot of people, but by and large, your average doctor nutritionist has no clue about this. And those that know who are in charge of the establishment are purposely suppressing it. Now, that's not – I wasn't surprised about that because I've always had a clue. But this information is being purposely suppressed so that, you know, the pharmaceutical industries and hospitals and the industry can continue making money, and we can continue doing cancer research and continuing with a flashlight in the dark searching for a cure for cancer when it's right in our face. So that part's not shocking, but the lack of information from the medical actual practitioners was shocking.
Well, are you given hope by the fact that nowadays it appears that more, at least African Americans, are coming on board to the whole vegetarian, vegan lifestyle? It's nothing now to run into a black vegetarian, whereas, say, maybe probably even 20 years ago, maybe 25, you might be hard-pressed to find one. It might be shocking if somebody told you that they were a vegetarian. But now you've got black vegan societies, black vegan groups. I mean, you know, it's not unheard of. It's not even strange as it once was. I mean, you probably would have been looked at as really strange if this was, say, 30 years ago, and you said, I'm going to stop eating meat. Does it give you hope that the word is getting out? I mean, when you just look around you now and you see all these different groups come up, and, you know, there appears to be a lot of African Americans getting on the whole health revolution, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, it's extremely encouraging. I run into people all the time. Of course, in the D.C. area, you have a lot more conscious people, but everywhere I go, this is growing. And when you think about it, especially here in the D.C. area, the vegetarian vegan movement was really started by African Americans, first ones to have a vegan restaurant and vegan society and all these things. So we really have been at the forefront of this, and so it's encouraging to see that and know the history for starters, and then know that we're really just going back to a natural way of eating where we started before we added all the processed food and all the other things to our diet. When you look at indigenous diets made up mostly of beans and pulses and very little meat, so we're kind of going back to that, you know. So I am encouraged that this is becoming more and more mainstream, and that people are willing to try, and kind of, you know, you still have the hardcore, you know, I'm going to eat meat till I die folks, but and they will die sooner, but you have a level of consciousness where people realize, okay, maybe I do need to cut back. Maybe I'm not going to go vegetarian, but I probably shouldn't eat this every day. And they're getting the message, and the word is getting out. There are movies, documentaries. It's out there. So, and then with, you know, the internet, a lot of more people are just connected than they were 30 years ago. And so this information is a lot easier. You know, it would have been a lot more difficult for me to connect with the people I connected with and to figure out the information that I got if this had been 30 years ago when I was researching, you know, plant-based diets. So it's encouraging. I think it's growing. It's growing by leaps and bounds, and I'm happy to help spread the word.
Yes, you definitely are a large part in this whole movement, for lack of a better term. I call it a movement, this new lifestyle change, because people are getting healthy and people are knowing now that they have options. You know, at least body does go to the doctor now and they get a bad report, they, at least they know they've heard, you know, they've heard of vegetarianism, they've heard of veganism, they've heard that people have, you know, been cured of cancer and different diseases. And so, you know, for all of the work that you're doing, I just pray that God continues to open doors and that you will continue to touch the lives that you're touching, because you play a large role, even with the veggie chest and, you know, showing people how to make the transition. I mean, that's so very, very important. Everybody, tonight we're going to be discussing fibroid tumors, your uterus, and your health. As I mentioned at the top of the show, this is a very, very important discussion. As I was doing some research, I saw some very staggering statistics. Between 80% and 90% of women will at some point develop fibroids, and you know, it's like, wow, this is something that we really have to talk about. And not a better person I could think of to talk about it. Dr. Lathan, let's start with an area that people have heard the term. I don't know if everybody knows what it is and what the function is of the uterus. But could you share, because that's where the fibroids develop, could you share what is the uterus and what is its function? So if you have a healthy uterus, what is its actual function, and, you know, what does it do?
Sure. So the uterus is basically the womb. Its primary function is to house a child when you conceive. That's pretty much the function of it. So it is lower part of our body, abdomen area, and that's the function. It is it's the cavity and a muscular organ where the reproductive, female reproductive system is, and that's where the baby lives and grows until it's time to come out.
So
it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, yeah. But then what are fibroid tumors? Because a lot of women have suffered from them, are suffering from them. Even as we speak, it may be even people that are listening to this show that may either are suffering from them or may have them developing and don't know it, or at some future point may suffer from them or know someone that does. I mean, it's such a common thing. If between 80 and 90% of all women will at some point in their lifetime develop fibroids, it's obviously very common, but I don't know if people know what they are. So what are fibroids?
Well, fibroids are really abnormal growths that occur in or on the uterus, kind of like inside the uterus, outside the uterus wall, then the lining of the uterus, anywhere around that area is where fibroids can grow. And they're it's, you know, made up of muscular like tissue, fibrin, with pockets usually of estrogen. So they can become very hard, especially as they get larger. So it's really an overgrowth of kind of muscle tissue and fibrin that usually, you know, part of our monthly cycle, we release, if we're not pregnant, release blood and the lining of the uterus and all of that. But in this case, those same hormones that cause that to happen cause excess growth of fibrin and muscle tissue.
Well, if a fibroid grows undetected, and let's say, for example, a woman has you know, fibroids and she just doesn't, you know, get them removed, will they burst? I mean, or do they spread? Or, I mean, what happens? Or they just keep growing? I mean, a woman can have multiple fibroids, not just like one big fibroid. I mean, she could have multiple fibroids. Is that correct?
Right. So they generally don't burst because they're not, there's nothing inside. It's a very solid mass of tissue. So generally that's not going to happen. It's, what's going to happen is it oftentimes if it remains small, it goes undetected, but most often it gets larger over time and then starts causing pain and discomfort to the point that you have to do something about it. So a lot of people don't know, but many, many people do suffer with it. It tends to get worse, you know, during the cycle time because you have all the hormones that are changing during that time that exacerbate the pain associated with fibroids. And so you'll have, like, you'll generally, people know when they have really heavy bleeding, more so than just your monthly cycle, or during the cycle it's excessive to the point where some people can't leave the house, or they're just, you know, in constant pain, or pain relievers aren't working, and it feels a little bit different than your normal, let's say, cramps that might come along with it, or you feel a constant pressure in your abdomen area that doesn't really go away. And then sometimes you can actually feel the mass yourself with your hand, that something is there. So generally, once it gets to a certain size, you're going to know, because it's going to start disrupting things and causing some type of discomfort.
Are there any other signs that a person should look out for, a woman should look out for, in addition to excessive monthly bleeding or, you know, maybe, you know, pain that might be a bit more than, the normal cramps or whatever? Because if there are other symptoms that could be confused for something else, you know, that could
mm-hmm.
go, that could explain why sometimes they might go undetected for so long, because a woman might have the symptoms but just attribute it to something else.
Right. I mean, there are other symptoms. So in addition to the heavier bleeding, there's irregular bleeding. Aside from when your cycle is supposed to be there, you might have this intermittent bleeding at different times when it's not supposed to happen. So that's usually a sign that you should definitely check something out. I mean, that could be a number of things, but that's a very common one with fibroids. So the irregular bleeding and spotting is one. Having to go to urinate frequently is also a sign, because a lot of times it's pressing up against things that makes that happen. So frequency and urgency of urinating is definitely one. And then also along with that, constipation, hemorrhoids, constant, especially if you're eating a regular healthy diet and that's still happening. Again, it disrupts things. Let's see, loss of pregnancy is one. Miscarriages can be attributed to that. So, and then just difficulty getting pregnant and just being, you know, just experiencing infertility when you're trying. That is another sign of that. So, you know, definitely going to feel probably pressure in the pelvic area, potentially pain, excessive bleeding, irregular bleeding, the infertility, urgency for the bathroom. So there are a number of signs. And any of those can be associated with something else, but any of those should cause you to go and get checked out. If any of those things occurs, that's not something to be ignored.
Well, I know that we'll, you know, during the course of tonight's discussion, you know, talk about causes, and I know that diet is high on the list, but, you know, and I know we'll get to that, but in addition to diet, could you talk about the role of stress on the woman's body or the mind? I mean, even when you think about just the mental state of an individual can actually cause the body to react in an adverse way. So could you talk about the role of stress and just how eliminating stress from your life can play a large role in eliminating the fibroid tumors from your body?
Sure. I mean, stress is something that disrupts a lot of things, particularly it disrupts the hormone balance. And hormone imbalance is one of the causes of fibroids because, you know, you're producing too much estrogen, which can cause this, making this excess fibrin tissue. So stress disrupts a lot of things, and primarily chronic stress is going to cause a number of imbalances from weight gain to other hormones that you don't need excess amounts of, and definitely it definitely affects estrogen, which is a primary factor here. So you want to, I'm not sure if you know, just eliminating stress is going to eliminate the fibroid once it's already there. There's probably going to be some other interventions that are needed, but it can definitely help stop the cycle. So it's something, and then exercise also helps, you know, with the pain of this and things like that. So, and it also helps relieve the stress. So it's definitely something that has to be dealt with, not just for fibroids, but for pretty much any type of trying to achieve any type of optimal health is going to involve reducing, eliminating, and learning how to deal with stress.
Well, let's talk about the diet then, and I know that that's a large part. Would you say 90% of the cure? Somebody, you know, comes to you and they, you know, been diagnosed with fibroid tumors. Would you say that the cure would be 90% diet?
That's going to play a huge role in it. Absolutely. I think it's definitely because of the estrogen dominance that is associated with fibroids and the inflammation that's associated with fibroids. The diet is really going to play a huge role in helping release that, kind of change that estrogen dominance a lot. So, and some of it, you know, it definitely does run in families, the estrogen dominance, which causes the fibroids. And so women usually have a mother, aunt, sister, where they all have had fibroids. And, you know, it's something that is something to, if that is the case, it's something you really do need to look out for and, you know, head it off by eating an anti-inflammatory diet, by reducing, eliminating stress, by maintaining your proper body weight, by exercising. All of those things are really going to help keep your estrogen balance in line. So it's possible that even though most of the women in your family have had fibroids, that you could head it off and not, you know, fall victim to that as well, even though your probabilities for it are a little bit higher because of that kind of genetic deep predisposition for the estrogen dominance is there. But it just means that you have to know that and then do the things that will help eliminate that. So when we're talking about an anti-inflammatory diet, we're really talking about a diet that also is going to set you up to avoid a lot of other diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. So we're talking about eating lots of greens, lots of fermented foods that help keep your gut flora very healthy, which alleviates inflammation, because the more inflamed you are, the worse the symptoms are going to be with fibroids. And they call them fibroid tumors because they're usually, you know, round and get larger and grow. And so the worse it's going to be. So you really want to eat a diet high in fiber, high in plant protein. You really want to eliminate the animal protein because that adds estrogen to the body. Just the natural hormones that are in meat are something that we should avoid. And so that's going to be number one. Dairy products are going to cause inflammation. And not only do they cause inflammation for just for fibroid issues, but they usually are also causing inflammation and make premenstrual symptoms worse among people who don't even have fibroids. And so because of that extra, the hormones present in the milk cause an imbalance, which causes the swing of the estrogen. You know, we have a kind of a range of which our hormones are going to flow between. And when we eat a very highly processed diet, high in meat, high in dairy, high in processed food, sugar, it causes the pendulum to swing too far both ways, which causes cramping and causes the emotional distress and depression during that time, because when it should swing between maybe 1 and 5, now it's swinging between negative 5 and 50. And that swing is so dramatic is why some people turn into mini monsters during this time of the month, because the swing is so high. So it's not that they're just being mean, it's that their hormones are so far off balance, they almost seem like a different person. And so once you get the hormones in balance, the swing is very small, which it's supposed to be, just enough to cause the release of the uterine lining and all of that, without the pain, without the emotional distress, without the depression and all of that. And so inflammation is a major factor there. So you want to eliminate inflammatory foods. So deep fried foods, obviously meat, but other, just junk food and sugar, sodas, all of those really increase inflammation and causes inflammation. So if you're eating a diet low in saturated fat, you really want to go low on the fats. And if you're eating a plant-based diet, you're going to do that. And high in fiber, so that things are moving well. And it also, fiber also helps remove the excess hormones and things from our body. So that's really important as well. Beans, whole grains are really important. Fresh fruit, extremely important. And then there's lots of herbal teas that help with this, and supplements too, that really help. And then there's lots of things that help detox the body from these excess toxins and hormones too, that we can talk a little about.
Well, does there ever come a point in a woman's life, like maybe after menopause or whatever, where when the woman doesn't have to worry about her cycle anymore, where fibroids don't become an issue? Or as long as a woman is alive, as long as she is eating a diet that's not rich in the nutrients that you mentioned, is a woman prone to be subject to having fibroids?
No, it's pretty much after menopause. That's going to stop. So that's really not going to continue, because you don't have that those hormones floating around as much. So I think, you can still have fibroids after menopause if they were there before. So that can still be a problem for you, and still cause some bleeding, but often it causes menopause usually causes it to shrink, but it doesn't necessarily make all the symptoms disappear completely. While it might shrink, it might not shrink altogether, so you could still have the pressure and the bleeding and things like that. But generally, the symptoms are going to get better, because they're not going to grow anymore because of the amount of estrogen is reduced at menopause. So generally it stops growing and starts to shrink, but it doesn't necessarily solve the problem. So if you've had, a large fibroid, or even, something that's noticeable and that you've had symptoms with, it won't necessarily just go away. It probably will improve, but in some cases they don't, and might even continue growing. But generally, it improves at menopause, and generally you're also not going to develop new fibroids after menopause. So it's still something you're going to have to deal with if you had it, at the time mm-hmm. of menopause.
You mentioned earlier about, I think it was estrogen dominance, I believe you called it, and looking at families and if a woman's mother or sisters or the women in her family have had fibroids, that there's a possibility that she might be predisposed to getting fibroids as well. Well, what is the role that the diet would play in that? I mean, because if all other things being equal, if these other women were eating a diet that was pretty much high in all of the wrong things, you know, the meat, the dairy, and all of the things you mentioned, could that be the link that binds them together in terms of the all of them contacting fibroids, and as opposed to maybe some actual genetic gene or something that may predispose them to it?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. It can definitely be that, you know, as many things that run in families are because of the habits that we share. So absolutely, that is the case. I guess the other issue is that when there's estrogen dominance, there's not enough progesterone being produced, and that causes the estrogen dominance, that you just don't have enough of the progesterone. So a lot of the treatment for estrogen dominance is creams that have progesterone in them and things like that to help balance out the ratio. So, hormonal imbalance can be brought on by emotional things, by food, by stress, absolutely. And it could also be genetic, that you're not producing enough progesterone too. So, or that it's a low, having a low amount. So that part could be somewhat genetic. So that's what is, you know, proposed. No one knows for sure if that's it, but that tends to be the key, is that it's estrogen dominance, in that producing too much estrogen or not enough progesterone, which balances it out.
Well, you know, Doctor, in my research, I came across article after article that talked about how African Americans were the highest amongst different nationalities, had the highest fibroid rate. I mean, they just, for whatever the reason is, and maybe we can discuss that, are more likely to contact or get fibroid tumors than other nationalities. What are your thoughts on that, and any reasons that you might be able to share a little light on as to why that might be?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure why that is the case, why it tends to be more prevalent in, you know, African-American communities, other than, you know, I can take some guesses at it, because one is obesity. It tends to be more common with obesity. Now, it doesn't mean that's the only factor, because I've known several very slim people with fibroid issues too. But obesity is one of the factors, because it causes a hormonal imbalance when we have excess weight. And so then that's going to kind of set you up for fibroids and a number of other illnesses too. So even just being, you know, overweight can cause that imbalance, and then definitely when we get to the obese stage. And unfortunately, the numbers for obesity and overweight among African-American women is higher than everyone else. And that's, for, you know, there's, you know, studies trying to figure out why is that. And, you know, I would point partly to stress. We tend to have a lot more stress than other nationalities. Economic imbalance is another issue that causes stress, you know. So we know that generally, you know, just as women get paid less than men, African-American communities get paid less than most other communities, which causes emotional stress and racism. And all of these things play a part. You know, it sounds like excuses, but when you start looking at it as a whole, it tends to make sense. And we know that when we're stressed, we tend to stress eat. And when we stress eat, we eat the wrong things. We don't eat the healthy stuff. You know, we're not fiending for steamed broccoli and you know, baked potato when we're stressed. So we're you know, craving for other things. So, again, this is just my opinion based on the things that I've read, that I'm thinking the obesity, overweight, and stress that are somewhat the type of stress that African Americans deal with is significantly different from the type of stress that the rest of the population deals with, and the type of stress African American women deal with is different from even African American men. So there's a factor there, and the way that we deal with our stress, women tend to eat and nurture themselves that way, as opposed to where a man might go out and, you know, play sports or something, or go out. So we deal with things differently, and I think that's a part. And I don't know if you already mentioned earlier, but we also were talking about a link between chemicals and hair chemicals and other chemicals in the environment and fibroids, and there is a link there between the two. So when we look at the number of African American women who have had perms at some point in their life, I know, you know, I have natural hair now, but for the first part of my life, you know, I used chemicals, and so that plays a part. So when you start adding up all these things, it starts painting a picture.
And then you throw in just the bad food places in the area that to eat. I mean, just in certain communities, African American communities, there are more. You might find a larger percentage of McDonald's and fast food joints in these communities mm-hmm. than you would other communities. So just the convenience of being able to, you know, go down the street to McDonald's or whatever, or Popeyes, and grab some chicken or whatever might play a role as well. Everybody, my special guest today is Dr. Ruby Lathan, and if you have a question, you'd like to make a comment, if you're listening on the phone, all you have to do is just press 1. If you'd like to call in and ask your question, the number is 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. Doc, let's talk for a moment about reoccurring fibroids, because my guess would be that if a woman had fibroid issues and the fibroids actually had to be removed and there was no lifestyle change, there was no diet change, I mean, she continued to keep the stress in her life or whatever, what caused the initial fibroids seemed like the fibroids would come back. Is that correct?
Right, and that's why they're often recurring, and a lot of people have surgeries to remove them, and then a year or two later they're back. It's because we didn't solve anything. It's just, you just removed the growth, and yes, you received relief from that, but oftentimes the surgery causes scar tissue, which causes more fibroids. So it's not the solution. I mean, and then some people go as far as when they keep having it recurring, they just go ahead and have a hysterectomy, and then that takes care of it because you're removing all of the reproductive organs, so you're not going to be producing those hormones. There's nothing there for it to grow. So, and that is often the case. They try not to do that for women of childbearing age, but I've known several women in their 30s who have had hysterectomies because of reoccurring fibroids, and they just didn't want to have any more surgeries, and that's the only thing that was being presented to them as a cure was surgery and then ultimately a hysterectomy. So surgery is not the answer, because it may provide relief, but oftentimes it just comes back, and that's because you still have the estrogen dominance, you still have the progesterone imbalance, and they're just going to grow back.
You know, let's talk for a moment about how to get rid of them, you know. During my research, I ran across an article that was talking about there's this new and completely non-invasive surgical procedure, and it's called forced ultrasound surgery, where the woman lies down inside a special MRI machine that allows the doctors to visualize the inside of the uterus. And through this high-energy, high-frequency sound waves, they that are directed at the fibroids, they actually destroy the fibroids. But even with that, even if a woman said, you know, well, you know, I'll do that then. You know, if I don't have that surgery, I'll just go, you know, get that.
Right.
But then if the lifestyle doesn't change, again, we're still talking about fibroids coming back. So, you know, if we could talk about just the need for a healthy lifestyle change in terms of diet, because, again, there might be new procedures coming out every day and they may be non-invasive. But if the lifestyle doesn't change, then whatever caused the fibroids initially is going to have them reoccur.
Absolutely. I mean, that's. I mean, it's great that there are less invasive procedures because that does help reduce some of the recurrence that's caused by the scar tissue and things like that. But as you mentioned, if it's, you know, if we haven't solved the problem, there's a high likelihood of it coming back. So the thing is, the remedy for getting rid of thyroid fibroids and keeping them away also keeps you healthy and helping you avoid a number of other things. So it just makes sense. It's like not only will you, you know, get rid of the fibroids, but you're going to be lowering your risk of cancer and heart disease and a number of others, and obesity, and a number of other things. So the need for what we're talking about is really for anyone, not just, not even just women, but men, people who don't have fibroid issues, and especially if you have fibroid issues or have a history of it in the family. It's even especially more important to take these steps because you're just going to have a healthier life. You're going to avoid a lot of suffering. You know, a lot of people suffer with fibroids, and there are a number of ways to treat it.
You know, I want to go back to a comment that you touched upon earlier, and I know that there are a lot of sisters out there that could take this information and possibly benefit from it. Some may scoff at it, and, you know, others, you know, may agree with it. But as I was doing research, I saw that there was a study done on 25,000 African-American women, and it showed that women who use hair relaxers were more likely to have fibroids. Specifically, fibroids may be linked, the study said, through the chemical exposure through scalp burns that result from relaxers. They also went on to say that girls who get their first period before the age of 10 were more likely to get uterine fibroids later in life, and early periods may be linked to chemicals in hair relaxers. Now, the study was done on, you know, again, 25,000 women, and again, there are people out there that will hear that and be like, you know, so what am I supposed to do? Just stop perming my hair or stop relaxing my hair, you know. But I guess it all boils down to, and I'm not one to try to tell people what to do, it's what's important to you, you know. And I just want to encourage everybody to research, to actually do your research. Go out there on the net. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of information out there, and you can actually research for yourself because there's so many people that get their information from unreliable sources. You know, they heard somebody say, you know, don't take my word for the study. Go look it up, you know, and find out for yourself what the statistics are and see if the connections make any sense to you. And if it makes sense to you, then you can, you know, do something about it. And if it doesn't make sense to you, then that's fine. You know, you've at least researched it, you know, because I oftentimes talk to people and it always interests me when sharing information with somebody and somebody says, I don't believe that. And then you say, well, why don't you believe it? And they're like, well, I just don't believe it. Well, your non-belief has to be based on something. You know, I mean, to just say I don't believe something and you can't say why you don't believe it other than it doesn't make sense, that's not even a good answer. Well, why doesn't it make sense? You know, there's another question. So I just want to encourage everybody to research, because really, I mean, when it all boils down to it, it's about your health. And your health is going to determine the quality of your life. And so I just want to thank Dr. Latham for being my guest today. I want to talk about the veggie chest for a moment, because, again, there are people out there that are hearing this information, and they know that they need to really make some changes in their diet. Finally, it's finally hit them. You know, people tune in, they may have scoffed at it at first, you know, and now it's sinking in, and they're like, you know what, maybe there is something to this vegetarian vegan thing. I need to make some changes, but I really just don't know where to begin. Dr. Latham, could you talk about the veggie chest and, you know, just how people can access that? Because there are people who actually need a guide, a coach, to kind of help them through this transition.
Absolutely. So the Veggie Chest is a plant-based vegan cooking show that really shows you how to make really good tasting dishes that really fit all the categories of the type of food you should be eating, meaning anti-inflammatory, you know, cholesterol-free, free of any artificial ingredients and things like that, really to get you on the road to understanding that you can eat really natural foods and they can taste really good in a very short amount of time, usually about 5 to 6 minutes, and you can just watch that online at my website, rubylathan.com, or you can just go to YouTube and type in the Veggie Chest and find another number of other websites. And you can subscribe to my newsletter so you know when new episodes are coming out, and you can subscribe to my newsletter on my website, rubylathan.com. That's rubylathon.com. And so it's a fun show. It gives you good ideas, and I always say, you know, try the recipe first, and then you can, make it your own. So there's a lot of good ideas there, and you can download the recipes also.
Now, can we talk about water for a moment? Because I know that water is something that is a substance that actually flushes the system, and as it relates to fibroids, I know it can't hurt, but can it really make a difference in the health of a woman? Well, I know the overall health of anybody is going to benefit from drinking enough water, but just as it relates to the discussion on fibroids, being able to actually flush out some of the toxins that actually are, you know, present when you have that condition.
Absolutely. Water is essential for everything. I mean, it's essential for flushing out excess toxins, excess hormones, just for natural brain function, for to avoid constipation, to just everything. I mean, water is fundamental. So, yeah, it's highly important to drink lots of water during this process and just in general. A lot of the remedies that are discussed when you're trying to heal for fibroids, include teas and things like that, where you're going to continue to drink lots of fluids. You know, there are things like green tea, milk thistle, because basically part of it is cleaning the liver is important part of this process. To get rid of the excess hormones as well. And so the liver is clogged, and the body doesn't do a good job of that. And that's part of the reason it causes constipation and other things. So there are a number of herbs that help with this process that, you know, you need water for to get them through your system. So, one being milk thistle, the other being dandelion root. You can have that like in a tea. Both of those aid in liver detoxification and usually associated, with constipation is often associated with the liver not working properly. And then milk thistle definitely helps eliminate the excess estrogen. So that's something, a tincture you would probably put in water to drink. And then there's green tea, which is, anti-inflammatory, which helps with a number of things, the antioxidants there. So there are a lot. And then there is an enzyme called Vitalzyme that is very helpful. And basically what it does is a systemic enzyme, which is different from a dietary enzyme, but the premise is the same. Dietary enzymes, when you take it with food, helps you break down your food quickly. For example, you know, if you put opened up enzyme capsule and put it in a bowl of oatmeal in about 30 minutes to 45 minutes, that oatmeal is going to be pretty much completely liquefied because the enzyme goes and breaks it down, and you could just drink it at that point. That's what enzymes in our systems do, help us break down food. Systemic enzymes work a little bit differently, but they also have that property of breaking things down, but only breaking things down in the body that aren't supposed to be there. So it helps. It helps with metabolizing nutrients for starters, because it helps break them down, makes them more available to the body. So systemic enzymes really enhance the effect of medications. Vitamins, minerals. So if you're taking a medication, that's something you'd want to take at a different time so that you're not increasing the effect of the medication. But systemic enzymes also eat away scar tissue, excess fibrin, things like that in the body, and that's exactly what you need to break down that excess fibrin that is making up the fibroid tumor. So a lot of people have had great success avoiding surgery by just taking these systemic enzyme, and one that I like is Vitalzyme, and this is one that I took during cancer recovery, and I still take occasionally now because it helps break down cell membranes, cancer cell membranes, so that the body can get rid of them and do what it needs to do there. So it's a very powerful thing. So if someone is suffering with fibroids, I'd really highly recommend they research Vitalzyme, read the science behind it, read the stories behind it and the success stories that people have had with it, and it could keep you from suffering and keep you from avoiding surgery. But then you also want to back it up with the diet that we're talking about, the exercise that we're talking about, and getting to your proper body weight will all help you not have reoccurrence, because you don't want to have to take Vitalzyme forever just to keep fibroids away, even though it's a very beneficial thing. It's not, if you're going to take something forever, that would be it. It's definitely worth a try. So,
Doctor, could you talk about just the need to trust the process for a moment? Because, you know, just like you and I and other people who are on a holistic, you know, path, you know, at least I'm a conscious eater, you know, and I'm quite distrustful of doctors, you know. And I'm sure that just as I have this distrust of doctors, there are people that have this distrust of naturopaths, you know, because they've grown up with doctors and so forth. So could you talk about the need for, I mean, because you got to trust somebody, you know what I mean? But the doctors, their track record just doesn't make me feel comfortable at all. I mean, if I went up in an airplane and somebody gave me a parachute and said, jump, and I said, well, what are the odds that the parachute is going to open? And they said, 50-50. You know, I'd be like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think I'm going to stay in the plane. And I think that when we go to the doctors and trust ourselves over to the doctors, the allopathic doctors, that is, and I don't mean if you've, you know, got hit by a car and you broke your leg or something. I'm talking about stuff like we're talking about now, fibroids and different things, cancers and tumors and that sort of thing. First of all, you're taking a chance that, you know, I mean, well, with the fibroids, it can seems like it'd be hard to misdiagnose. But with other ailments, you might even get a misdiagnosis, I mean, from the doctor. So could you just even talk about just being the need to trust if you decide that you're going to set your foot on the holistic health path, that you're going to have to trust the process, that if you give the body what it needs, you have to trust that the way God made this machine that we call a body, that if you give it the fuel that it needs, that it's going to work. And it might not happen the day after tomorrow. It might not happen next week. But if you continue, that it's going to pay off. Your hard work is going to pay off.
Absolutely. I mean, the great thing about the body is it tends to respond relatively quickly when you really give it what it needs, especially if you've been eating very poorly and having lots of stress and doing everything pretty much wrong in terms of nutrition. When you make that super huge shift, the body responds. You know, with fibroids, seeing people within 2 months, you know, within a month, you know, their next cycle, they notice things are feeling better, things like that, because oftentimes the cycle triggers everything else. So they notice it, you know, within weeks, which is a good thing. But, you know, it's important to believe in the process. I'm like, if you don't believe in it, you might as well not really try it. I mean, sometimes you get results anyway, but you really want to have faith in what you're doing, because that plays a huge role in the overall process and helps you stick with it even when things feel like they're getting worse momentarily, which sometimes happens. But it's extremely important to trust the process, know that many of these things didn't pop up overnight, so they don't all go away overnight. But generally, you start seeing some improvement, which can give you a little bit of a, you know, hint to move on. And then you need to, you know, talk with other people if possible. There are lots of support groups. There are, you know, other people the doctor can connect you with and things like that. So it's definitely, you know, something that you have to move forward with confidence with and give it time to work.
And I think that it's easier to move forward with confidence when you have compiled enough information to support your conviction. Like, for example, when you decided that, okay, you were going to go the natural way and, you know, take matters into your own hands as it related to your condition with thyroid cancer, I'm sure you had compiled enough information and read enough that it was easy for you to trust that, I mean, that it would work, because you had seen and read so many other testimonies and you had enough information to support it. So, again, back to people, you have to do your research. And in addition to that, it's very important to surround yourself with other people that are going to support your decision to take the holistic route. I mean, because it can be, it can deflate your, you know, it can just put a pin in your balloon if, you know, you're doing all your research and everything, and then you tell somebody that, you know, I've decided that I'm going to go vegan to combat this thing, and they tell you, what? Are you crazy? You know, and then they start telling you all of the reasons why you shouldn't do it, you know. So, Doc, in the last few moments, could you just talk about even the need to surround yourself with people who actually understand the process if you decide that, you know, you're going to deal with these fibroids in a holistic way? It's going to be important to have people who support you in that, because the more support that you get, I mean, it's hard enough to even make the decision not to take the allopathic doctor's advice. That's hard enough. That's a huge step. So just in addition to making that step, you need support from people that understand why you made that step and they believe in the results of you having made that step.
Sure. It's absolutely important to get facts and to know that everything you read on the internet is not true, because you get a lot of conflicting information on there. So it's really important to work with someone who has some experience with what you're dealing with, so that, you know, you can work from a point of knowledge, and that helps, and, you know, that gives you that comfort level. So, you know, I would say don't go it alone. Definitely get help from a professional or someone who's done this before or has really good information. And then, you know, you have to have some internal resolve and belief in yourself when you have people who are lack knowledge about natural remedies. Most people do lack knowledge about it. So they're unfortunately willing to knock it when they don't know one way or the other how effective it is. So you have to just, you know, patiently educate people, stick to your guns, you know, draw your boundaries. If someone is harassing you about it, you know, you draw your boundaries. This is what I'm doing. Let's not talk about this anymore, and just keep it moving. You have to have a strong resolve when you're kind of bucking the system. And, you know, you don't have to tell everybody what you're doing. You know, tell those trusted few who can help support you in this and move forward so that, you know, so you don't have this unnecessary resistance from people who don't really know what they're talking about. And so you'll get a lot of unsolicited advice in that realm. But it's just because of what we've been taught is just so opposite of what truth is. So, stick to your guns, get your support, and keep moving forward.
I want to let everybody know that the voice that you're hearing, Dr. Lathan's voice, you're listening to a PhD, okay? You're not listening to somebody that's uneducated. You're listening to somebody who knows what research is all about. She's got a PhD in industrial and systems engineering and a bachelor's degree in computer science, okay? So you're listening to an educated person, highly educated person, okay? So I think it's important to stress that, because you have to ask yourself, when you're hearing people that say, oh, that doesn't work, are they as educated as Dr. Lathan? You know, do they have a PhD in anything or even a bachelor's degree in anything? So I just want to make that clear, that you're listening to the voice of somebody who is a researcher, is a doctor, okay? And that is very, very important, because we're talking about the importance of research. Well, Dr. Lathan definitely knows what research is all about. Dr. Lathan, any parting words for listeners? Is there anything concerning fibroids that we have not covered in this interview that you would like to get in before we close, or did we pretty much do the topic justice?
I think, you know, that I just want to, so many people, women think there's, you know, there's no hope and that they eventually have to go toward the hysterectomy route and just deal with the pain of it until they get through potentially childbirth and then they, you know, go for hysterectomy. And to know that there is a cure pretty much almost for everything, including fibroids. There is a natural remedy for this. And if you get with a good naturopathic doctor, if you're not ready to go this alone, like I said, you need some help anyway, but get with someone who can guide you on this path and know that it is curable, just like 99% of the things that we come in contact with.
And you do coach, correct, Doc?
I do. Absolutely. I do therapeutic nutrition plans to help people with issues like this, often work in concert with physicians, holistic physicians, naturopathic physicians as well, to complement any additional help someone may be getting in dealing with this issue.
So if somebody just came from the doctor or knows somebody that, you know, is dealing with fibroid issues, they can contact you and possibly, you know, talk about getting on a nutritional plan?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. And that can you please give your information again for them that are interested?
Sure. You can reach me at 202-709-7829, or you can reach me via my website. There's a contact page. My email is there as well, ruby@rubylathan.com. So there are a number of ways, or just go to rubylathan.com to the contact page, and we get the messages there too.
Dr. Lathan, thank you. And for all of the women out there that are hearing this information, I want to thank you for them. And for all of the men that are out there listening to this information, I would like to thank you for them, because I know that, you brothers, you would be remiss if you did not share this link with every female that you love, okay? Because chances are, as I stated earlier, between 80 and 90% of women are going to at some point have a situation, an issue with fibroids. So that could be your mother, that could be your sister, that could be your daughter, your nieces, your cousins, you know, your friends, you know. So please share this information with them, because it could actually change lives. And there are people who have actually had surgery to remove fibroids and it didn't go well. I mean, there are people that have actually went and had surgery, thought that was a viable option, and wished that they did not go that route. So if there's an alternative, then you would be remiss in not at least exploring the alternative before you actually gave yourself over to the allopathic doctors. So, again, please share this information. To all of the new listeners to Health, Wealth, and Divine, I welcome you. I see the numbers growing. New listeners are coming in all the time. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for your time. Dr. Lathan, awesome, awesome, awesome information. I am just, every time we do an interview, I just feel so blessed to have you as a part of our team. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure.
Everybody, call Dr. Lathan. Contact her, rubylathan.com. Also, check out the Veggie Chest. You can check out the Veggie Chest on YouTube. If you need to have a coach, just even in terms of how to make the transition from a meat-eating diet, eating dairy, to a vegetarian or vegan lifestyle, then there are recipes. There are just she shows you how to do it. I mean, that's half the battle right there. That's one of the reasons why so many people probably don't, is because it's like, where do I start? I'll tell you where to start. Start with the Veggie Chest, okay? You can just check it out on YouTube, punch it up, the Veggie Chest, and start looking and start learning and start getting some recipes, okay? And, again, check out our website, rubylathan.com. You got the phone number. Call her. If you're dealing with fibroid issues, you don't have to suffer anymore. You don't have to deal with that pain anymore. You can shrink those fibroids. This show could be the answer to a prayer. I certainly hope so. It definitely has the potential to be. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for your time. You've been listening to Health, Wealth, and Divine. Until the next time, peace and blessings.